Okay.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Journey to Success Radio Network. Our purpose on Journey to Success Radio is to interview people who are making a positive difference in the world. We explore important aspects and areas of life, including business, sales, mental, relationships, disabilities, and other interesting topics. And our broadcast team so far consists of outstanding people from both Canada and the U.S., including several Napoleon Hill Foundation certified instructors, as well as several authors. My name is Tom Tuttle Cunningham, and I'm a Napoleon Hill Foundation certified instructor. I'm also a regular contributor to their weekly newsletter. And in March of 2012, I spoke at the Napoleon Hill International Convention in Malaysia, where I shared the stage with Deepak Chopra, who was the keynote speaker for the event. I've had rheumatoid arthritis from my jaw to my toes since the age of 5. That's 44 years now. And in that time, I've had 4 hips, 4 knees, and 2 shoulders replaced and been hospitalized about 40 times. I also stand about 5'1", and that's due to the heavy daily doses of the oral steroid prednisone that I had to take to fight my arthritis. And despite those challenges, I'm well known for always answering amazing when asked how I'm doing. I'm also a senior research director at the Canadian Business Journal. We're a digital-only publication, and we're the official and only media partner of the Canadian Chamber of Commerce. You can find out more about me on my website. It's mrpma.ca, so that's mrpma.ca. And my guest today is Jamal Miles, and Jamal was raised to embrace his natural-born entrepreneurial spirit. He grew up watching his father start many small business ventures, which has played an influential part in his success as a reputable salesman to this date. And his father also demonstrated a strong commitment to a certain standard of excellence. And in watching his father grow his businesses and provide for the family, Jamal learned the importance of creating and maintaining relationships early in life. His parents have always encouraged him to pursue excellence and seek like-minded people who share the same principles of achieving their goals through a positive mental attitude. Jamal has always been curious to know what the determining factor was between the high achievers and low achievers in life. And this curiosity increased his interest for researching the importance of how an optimistic attitude may lead a person to a life of prosperity and contribution if it's channeled in the right direction. He has recently completed the Training Business Pros Train the Trainer certification, and this has been invaluable to his presentational marketing and facilitation skills due to learning and implementing the world's most advanced presentation marketing template. Education is also a major part of Jamal's success, and he's taken it upon himself to receive a certification in marketing and mastery. And this course has boosted his confidence and his desire to empower others through leadership methods, and has also amplified both his online and his offline presence. Jamal is currently operating his own training company where he teaches professionals groundbreaking communication techniques. Welcome to the show today, Jamal.
Thank you, Tom. Thanks for having me.
I love your bio because my father also owned his own business. He was in the explosives business as a distributor for years. And so when you grow up with amazing parents, they don't even have to teach you anything. You just watch them. And like your father, my father had standards, and the standards were basically over-deliver and always tell the truth and work very hard. And if you learn those three things, you really don't have to learn too many other things. You have to get skilled at a few other things, but if you learn those three things from your own parents, wow, that's the best thing, one of the best things a father can do, right?
Yes, most definitely.
And so your father, you watched him grow a number of businesses. What have you learned from watching your father and from his standards of excellence? Maybe talk about that a little bit, because I know that there's a lot contained in those words, a certain standard of excellence.
Oh, yes, most definitely. When I was younger, my father always had very I could say, powerful and determined work ethic. He would always, take me with him for whether it was sales meetings. He had a dry cleaning service in the late 80s. He had a dry cleaning service, and I'd be there, you know, just watching some of the things that he did, how he treated his customers. He also had numerous other ventures. One was insurance. Another one was where he sold natural medicines and supplements and nutrients in the form of a pill.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I've learned from my father is he's always been very relatable. He's always speaks to people's core. He's humorous. But on the other aspect, even when times have gotten hard, he stayed very optimistic, very positive, and he'd always tell me, son, there's ups and downs in life, and the key is to continue to be positive and visualize a positive outcome, and eventually it will manifest into reality. And it was my father who actually gave me the copy of Think and Grow Rich, which was his own copy. And from there, I read it, and he would go through it and explain to me, you know, some of the principles, some of the chapters, some of the things that he felt were influential in his life.
Wow.
And from there, I was able to understand it a lot more from a deeper level, but also have that connection with my father, which is also a very good bonding experience as well.
Amazing. And so many people that I interview, they're like, oh, I wish I'd read it young when I was younger. And imagine the impact of reading it through with your father. And did you say it was his copy that he lent you?
Oh, yeah. It was his copy. Yeah.
Yeah. So imagine the impact of that, not only reading it and reading it when you're young, but reading your dad's copy and talking to him about it. That's not a lot of fathers and sons have those conversations about the success principles mentioned in Think and Grow Rich when they're young.
Yes, and it's been a great experience just because I'm able to be honest with myself, but also learn that, you know, as to expand on what you said earlier, when you're honest with others, there's not much more that you need. And that's one of the things I learned with my father. He's always been very straightforward, very honest, and it's you know, I find that very, very significant because he was never one to, you know, mix words. He'd always say, you know, like it was, and I definitely appreciate and I'm grateful to have him in my life, and I incorporate those principles myself.
Amazing. Now tell me about your new book. It's pretty exciting when you have a new book out.
Yes. The new book is called The Business Owner's Guide on Generating Customers for Life, Tips, Techniques, and Tactics for Growing Any Business, Even in the Toughest Economies. So I've been working on this book for about, I'd say, 6 months. One of the things that allowed me to create this book was actually, creating it in my mind. First, just going through certain experiences I've had through working in sales, marketing companies, product support companies, some of the things that I've seen that were highly successful, and some of the things that I've noticed, you know, were failures for me. What I did was I just started taking down some notes, and then from there, as I started taking down some notes, it just actually started to grow on its own. So I created the book first in my mind, and then I created it again physically. And the book is essentially just, it's a workbook, so it gives you, it gives you some principles in regards to how to profitably attract more quality customers, which can then increase your sales and your bottom line, how to convert your customers from suspects to advocates. So I always say, when I say suspects, no one is really a prospect until you get to know them. So before that, I'd say they're suspects, right? How to keep your quality customers, and also how to understand and capitalize on the motives that compel people to make buying decisions. Because I find that when somebody's buying anything from you, Tom, or anything from anyone for that sake, they're usually buying you. They're buying into you, into your service, how you can help them, how you treat them. They have to trust you first. They have to, you have to be credible. And you also have to be willing to help them when they need help. And then the other aspect of it would be either the product or service. So a lot of people have done business with me just because of who I was and, you know, my personality and how I treated them. And I wanted to transfer these skills or transfer these stories and techniques to as many people as I can, and I put them here in this book.
Amazing. And Zig Ziglar says people will only buy from you if they like you and they trust you. And so, as you said, probably 80% of the sale is them liking you and trusting you. And the rest is just formalities about the specific product that you're, or service you're selling. And so, tremendous. Now, can you give us like maybe two or three of the tips that are mentioned in your book?
Oh, for sure. So, one of the tips that I found were great was particularly increasing your effectiveness. So with anything, when you're dealing with business, there's different ways to increase your effectiveness with the client, with your prospect, even with your advocates, some of the people who do business with you who love your business, and we can always improve. So I wanted to give you a quote. Thomas Nelson said, "People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care." So that's one of the main things. That's the main message of the book. You know, due to the fact that technology has become a lot more sophisticated with, you know, social media, higher powered computers, people are text messaging a lot more than actually talking. Consumers who buy your products or services have definitely become more educated about, you know, the different types of businesses, the different ways you can do business, and are a lot more aware than they were 10, 15 years ago. So the main thing is, there, in order to increase your effectiveness, you're really going to have to look for ways that help them, whether it's in changes, whether it's improvements in the business operation, whether you're adjusting your sales methods, or even, you know, nurturing your existing clients and showing them that you care, whether it's be giving them different types of incentives, referral programs, newsletters. There's different ways that you can educate and add value to what you're doing, which then increases your effectiveness. It's also key to be open to new ideas. This book is all about being open to new ideas. I'm not claiming to have anything that's hasn't been said before. I just really believe it's how you say it. I just try to expose as many concepts that I've incorporated in my life and techniques that have worked for myself, but have also worked for other successful business people, and then put those, that seed in the reader's mind that can grow and nourish into a strong tree, or metaphorically a strong business.
Exactly. And this is one of the main reasons that Think and Grow Rich, over 100 million copies read in various forms these days, is because, like you said, you don't have new strategies, new techniques. These are basic principles. Jim Rohn spoke about the basic principles of life. All of the principles Napoleon Hill mentioned are basic principles, pleasing personality, enthusiasm, applied faith, all of those. But it's how you, as you said, what different points you can talk about sort of towards each of those success principles so that people, A, be know more about them, and B, know what to do about them. And so tremendous. I am suspicious of anyone who says, oh, I have all this new kind of advice or ideas or ways to do things regarding success in my book or whatever. I'm thinking, there's not a lot of new ways, but there are a lot of ways to talk about and things it can do on each of the specific, in Napoleon Hill's case, 17 success principles that he identified. Now, tell me about that. You have some steps for learning and retention. I think there's 5 steps of learning and retention. What are those steps?
Okay, yeah, that's a great question. So the first step would be impact. We always have, you know, the mind is broken up into two parts, the analytical mind, and then a larger part of that mind is the subconscious mind. So a lot of things impact our subconscious mind on a regular basis, whether it's be at home, it could be at work, on the way, back and forth. There's different things, thoughts, and ideas that are being impressed in our mind. So impact is actually receiving the idea in your mind. And the definition of impact can be anything that has an influence, effect, or can alter your mind. And this new information or experiences actually appear real. They give, you know, they cultivate emotions. It goes straight to your nervous system, and you can actually react as if it really happened. So one of the things that I do, the first step in learning retention, is to actually close your eyes and actually visualize the impact that your thought may have on you, whether it could be positive or negative. But just be aware of how, you know, that thought makes you feel, how it impacts your thoughts, your attitudes, your feelings, and eventually your results. So that's number one. Number two would be repetition. So once you have an idea in your mind, it's very important for you to continuously, persistently, and consistently take the steps towards your goal. It can be your goal, or even making sure you remember it, put it in your memory. I'm really big on auto-suggestion, so that is another point of regards to learning. The more that you study something and you go over it, it becomes a part of you. It's very similar to anything that's negative. Because you're replaying that over and over in your head, the result would be negative. So in this aspect, I'm looking at the positive aspects. It says that if, you know, in 8 days, if you repeat something for 8 days, 90% of it will be retained. So it's just repetition.
Wow.
Would be the
same. And we have 30,000 to 60,000 thoughts a day that go through our brain.
Wow.
So why not program your own thoughts?
Exactly. And your results will change as a result of you programming your thoughts towards a positive outcome.
Okay.
The
next
third
step.
One. Yep. The third one is utilization. So this is the doing aspect of it. In doing a lot of these steps, or taking action, you actually develop neuromuscular pathways that actually create mind muscle memory. So just like anybody who'd work out at the gym, eventually if you lift weights over and over, you'll build your muscle. It's the same thing mentally in your head. And the more you do something in your mind, the more that it actually becomes real. And manifest into physical reality. So that would be number three.
Mm-hmm.
Number four is internalization. And the idea of internalization involves you getting emotional and having an emotional connection, which is almost like desiring your outcome. I've always been big on desire is the gas that fuels my will, right?
Mm-hmm.
So desiring your goal. And then you have to internalize it, make it be a part of you, because it's not always going to be easy. There may be obstacles, or maybe different objections.
Yes, exactly.
Having that desire, right? And having that desire, it will help you get to where you want to be and keep you positive in order to get through life's many obstacles, right?
Napoleon Hill says, desire is the starting point of all achievement. And then he goes on to say something about it having to be a burning desire.
Mm-hmm.
Because as you said, life is not always going to be easy. And not only will you get down, but people may get down on you saying, hey, I don't think that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And so if you have that burning desire, no matter what happens, you know that you wake up tomorrow and you pursue that passion with 100% of your effort, regardless of what happens. And so desire is tremendously important. All right,
very
so step, was that step three or four?
That was four.
Okay.
So the last one is reinforcement. So just in order to maximize the effectiveness of your idea, you will have to continuously look for ways to strengthen it. So if you, if you can support the idea, the more you believe it, the longer you'll obtain it, and the more effective it will become. So you actually have to physically see it in your mind all the way to completion, and then just actually reenact that in physical life, right? So
yes.
Reinforcing the idea, having positive reinforcements, remembering why you're doing it, and having a burning desire does actually help with that as well. So
exactly.
Those are the five steps to learning and retention.
Neat. And now you had mentioned in there as well about a positive and a negative attitude. Actually, Jeffrey Gittimer says in one of his audio programs, he says only about 3% of people have a positive attitude, and yet if you ask an audience of people, most people are going to say they have a positive attitude. He says if you haven't actually taken a course on attitude in the last few years, you actually can't be qualified as someone who has a positive attitude because you haven't actually studied it at all. And then I think of the statistic that the average North American watches 32 or 33 hours of television or is online or is playing video games. So 33 hours a week spent in those activities is the average person. You can't tell me you have a positive attitude if that's what you're doing in your non-work time. So tell me a little bit about what your opinion is on the difference between a positive attitude and a negative attitude.
Yes, I definitely believe for a positive attitude, it's somebody who is always striving to be better, always striving towards their short-term goal, and always striving to help others, to come from service. When you're positive, you look at everything with the perception that it'll always work out.
Yes.
The universe will conspire to help you. And you actually have a safety net. So I always believe that it's better to try and fail than to actually not try at all. And it's really funny because, and when I say funny, I mean ironic, because like attracts like. So
yeah.
If you have a positive mindset, you'll actually attract other positive minds, which is like a mastermind, right? And I find with most people, the reason why they have a negative attitude is because they've been through situations that weren't in their favor, and their reinforcement, they actually internalize that idea to say, well, you know, nothing ever works for me. They get negative feelings attached to that, and they reinforce that idea every time something negative happens. It's also their environment as well, because if you have negative associates or friends or family members who are negative, and you already are negative, you're programming your mind to perceive everything as being negative. So the positive attitude is that you read a lot. Readers are leaders.
Mm-hmm.
You actually are striving to learn more, to be better, whether it's through helping others, whether it's through helping yourself, or whether it's reading. I always find that the truth is in the books, and television is like filtered information, right? So that's one of the key differences is just, you know, if something negative happens to two people, one is positive and one is negative, the positive person will always look for something positive or something to learn from that experience and move
exactly.
forward. Yes.
Exactly. And this is a choice we have, and that is the major idea behind Napoleon Hill's writings that he says so often is that God gave us 100% control over one thing, and that's our thoughts. And so we get to choose, as you said, some people are predisposed to think negatively and some are predisposed to think positively. But if you use your five steps, and I've seen it in people's lives where they used to be negative, but now they've made a concerted effort, they train themselves, they train their thoughts, their words, their reading, and now they're extremely positive people. So you can change, but it starts with your thoughts. And then from your thoughts, I find that so many people, what stops so many people is their feelings. You know they have planned to go to the gym tonight, but at the end of the day, when they're finished work, they feel tired.
Yes.
And so their feelings stop them from doing what's on their to-do list.
Yes.
I'm just too tired, or whatever feeling they have. But I think the successful people go to the gym. I've been going to a gym for over 12 years now, and the best, and think of my arthritis and how much my body aches. But, you know, I think of the best workouts I have are the ones when I go, when I'm trying to talk myself out of it from lunchtime on in the daytime, right? And then you go and you're like, oh, man, this was a great workout. And so I think that's a big thing. Your thoughts and your feelings often stop you from doing what's on your to-do list and what you know is important.
Most definitely. And thoughts are things, right? So Napoleon Hill had said, whatever the mind can conceive and believe is capable of achieving. And
exactly.
That, And that is the context that I use to keep me going and keep me positive.
I was so excited. I actually got the domain name, thoughtsarethings.ca.
Oh, that's excellent.
Yeah, because it is so important. And you had even mentioned it earlier about if you're a positive person, you learn to recognize and you end up, the universe sends you positive people, and that's because your thoughts are things. So it's like everybody's had this kind of thing where they've met someone and they feel like it's a long-lost friend. If you are projecting positivity, joy, happiness, contentment, and you walk into a room, that is like a big receiving station. Other people who are like-minded, you're going to recognize them probably even before you speak with them. And then those are going to be the people that you either become customers or you work with or become friends, because they're so like-minded positively as you are, right?
Yes, definitely.
And so it's so important to control our attitude, because every day it's a choice. Like sometimes people say to me, well, you're used to being in pain 24/7 all the time and being tired, because when you're in pain, you're tired all the time. I tell them, well, not so much used to it, because pain is pain every day. You don't get used to it and say, oh, well, that's nothing. It still hurts every day. But it's a decision I made so many years, so many times, every day, to focus on the positive, that I don't talk about it. Nobody will ever know if I'm having a bad day or a good day, pain-wise. And so it all starts with a decision and your thoughts and your attitudes. And isn't that right?
Oh, yeah. It's very inspiring. It's very inspiring. It's really your attitude. Attitude is everything, right? Bob Proctor has said that your attitude is the composite of your thoughts, feelings, and actions. And that simple formula will then have a direct correlation to the results in your life. And if you're not happy with the results in your life, then you have to go back to your thoughts. It's what you're thinking, right?
Exactly.
So many people that I meet on a regular basis, Tom, who are, you know, even when you ask them, how are you doing? Good. They almost answer before you even finish asking the question.
Yeah.
Right? So
or they say, good, but I'm tired, I'm late, I'm busy, I'm blah, blah.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, you get the, oh, I'm good, but it's Monday, or I'm good for it.
Yeah.
Tuesday. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy. I tell people, like, I always answer amazing. So imagine, you can imagine, for so many years I say that, and lots of people ask why. I say, listen, 40% of the world lives on less than $2 a day, and they are we are no nicer, more kind, more generous, more deserving to be where we are in North America than they are deserving to be living in a country where they earn $2 a day. So I always think, when I think of complaining, I think of someone in a third world country standing in front of me and me complaining to them about whatever my issue is. And I think to myself, what would this person think of me if I complained about, you know, the scratch on my car, or how tired I am, or whatever, right? And so, it's a matter of your thoughts. But if you focus on how you are compared to the world, where, you know, so many people are doing so poorly in the world through no fault of their own, then please, just waking up should be the most exciting thing you get to do every day. You know, be grateful and joyful for another day. But as you said, so many people, like, oh, I'm good for a Wednesday, or, you know, I'm good because it's Friday and the weekend's here. No, you're not good for any other reason, except you decide in your mind and your thoughts that you are good, it's a great day, and you're happy to be alive.
Very, very true. And I think that comes with, like I said, with reading different bios. You know, seeing different environments, different cultures. You really get to be appreciative and grateful for the life that you have, whether you've had many ups and downs, but every day that you can wake up is a day for you to create another page in your book of life.
Exactly.
So it's very, very important to just make sure that you have you're appreciative and you're grateful for every day, I actually have a little book that I have that I, every day that I wake up, I just write what I'm appreciative and grateful for. That it keeps me positive, because when I look back, I have a lot of things to be thankful for. So that keeps me very optimistic, and you know, that helps a lot. So
amazing. I just started that this month in January. I initially was going to write down 10 things every day, but the same kind of pad, you know, I have a pad or a journal that I write it in, and I figured, okay, I'll fill the whole page, and I think there's like 20-some-odd lines on the page, so I come up with 20-some every day, and it's amazing when you think about it, like, boy, what things you can be thankful and grateful for. It's tremendous.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you also mentioned some pretty amazing people that are on your reading list, Napoleon Hill and Bob Proctor. Are there a couple of any other authors' books that really stand out for you?
I can go into, okay, so Zig Ziglar.
Ah.
Definitely.
The King, my favorite.
The King, yeah, definitely. I really enjoy his book. I like his charisma, you know?
Yeah, I like watching him speak more than reading. His humor comes better in watching him speak, and I've seen him speak a lot of times. But his books also have the same kind of personality that Zig has as well.
Yeah, most definitely. Stephen Covey.
Ah, amazing. The Seven Habits?
Yeah. Yes. I'm actually rereading that right now. It's funny because a lot of the books that I'm reading now, I read them, I'd say, about 5 years ago, and I try to reread some of the fundamental books again, because as I get older, my perception on different things has changed, but also in one of the things that they may have said, one of the chapters, it resonates a lot more with me now than it did years ago, right? So that's definitely something that has been key in helping me stay positive and stay focused.
I love that because, yeah, I just finished one myself that I read over 20 years ago. I think I've read it twice because I had yellow highlighting and then in other parts I had blue pen underlining. So I'm thinking, why would you do both? And so I might have read it twice. I know I read it once. It was over 20 years ago. And it's like, yeah, as you said, you get a good one like The Seven Habits, it's worth reviewing because it's powerful information. And a different time of your life, so each of the habits will affect you differently at different parts of your life.
Yes, for sure. I also enjoy reading Deepak Chopra's books.
Ah, yes, I got to share the stage with him.
That must have been very exciting.
It was pretty amazing because, as you know, Deepak's books are powerful. He has a huge audience. He's a friend of some very VIP people in the world. And so very, very cool. And he has a lot of great books, doesn't he?
I thoroughly enjoyed them. He gives such a great balance between what really happened and what you think happened. It's funny because there isn't any type like wrong answer per se.
Yeah.
It's just your perception and how you see
perception.
It, how you let it affect you, right?
Imagine. And so as we talked about with our positive attitude, it's if you perceive things positively or negatively, that's how they'll affect you. And so that's, again, going back to programming your mind to see the positives in everything.
Yeah, for sure. For sure, most definitely.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. And other ones?
The Magic of Thinking Big. That book was very, very influential.
David Schwartz.
Yep. In regards to setting goals and positively going towards achieving them.
Nice. That's an old book, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's oldie but goodie.
Yeah.
And I definitely enjoyed just understanding that you can accomplish the things that some people may say are lofty or quote-unquote impossible.
Mm-hmm.
All you have to do is just recognize, or, you know, that worked for me, I should say I did, was that I recognized that nothing is impossible, all I had to do was just break it into smaller steps and make sure that I was reinforcing, you know, that feeling of once I accomplished it, and I kept that with me through, you know, even through writing the book. I've had some times where I was very frustrated, things weren't working, and I would step back and I would kind of just remember why I was doing it and who I was doing it for, and that helped me, you know, get back into it and get it done. And that just resonates with me in regards to the magic of thinking big, because I'd never thought that I would actually have the patience to complete a book, and here I am now, right? So
amazing, yeah, because many people think of it, but not many people do it.
Yes.
And so a tremendous accomplishment. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Jamal. It's been a lot of the books you mentioned just brought back some amazingly great memories. Doc, The Magic of Thinking Big, that's a big one. I read it again over 20 years ago. Gee, yeah. I think I reread it again last year. At least I purchased it. I don't know if I reread it. And but yeah, it sounds like you're not one of those 32-hour-a-week TV people. You're doing something more intelligent with your time and brain. And so how do people get your book? Is it on Amazon, on your website? What's the easiest way for people to do that?
Yeah, most definitely. The best way to do that is actually to go to my website. The website is called thesoftskillstrainer.com.
Mm-hmm.
And once you go to the softskillstrainer.com, there's actually a window just on the right-hand corner where you can enter in your email address. And what I will do is I'll set up an actual order that I can get the book sent to you. So
okay.
Still working
soft on skills training, right?
Yeah, it's the soft skills trainer.com.
Yeah. Okay.
And then once you enter in, there's just like a little window there where you can enter in your email, your first name, your email. And then from there, once it gets, you know, once you click the send button, it'll get sent to me, and I'll arrange to have the book sent to you. So it can be
nice.
You know, to their location. And what I'm actually doing as well is I'm going to be creating a PDF version and also an audio book as well. So currently right now I have the book. It's definitely available through my site. And for a limited time, I'm actually hand-delivering a lot of the books to people in the GTA area in Toronto.
Nice. Okay. Hey, I'm from the GTA area.
Yeah. So.
Hey, very good. Okay. Excellent. And so people should do that. Go to your website, and that would be very cool. You could even sign it for them.
Exactly.
Very good. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Jamal. Have yourself an amazing 2013, and I recommend everybody go to your website and take a look at the book. You got some great ideas in there. You had me make, I have like three-quarters of a page of notes just from the things you were talking about. So
excellent.
You got me interested in some great new ideas, and so I recommend people go to the site and look at the book, and come on. Don't watch TV for a few hours and read a good book instead. Have an amazing day, Jamal. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Tom, and I definitely enjoy this interview and the opportunity to speak with you. And I hope
have
you
an have amazing
a
day.
Magnificent day. Yes, sir.
You too.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.